Recognize, the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So today is April 9th. It is the second birthday of my dogs, Captain Moon and Miss Fox. So delighted to be sheltering in place with you and the mysterious cats. I know also that April 9th, 2018, when my dogs were born, was the day that the FBI raided Michael Cohen's offices. And we remember that Michael Cohen testified that he was paid $1.4 million by Novartis for access to Trump. And now Novartis is getting big, creepy boosting by the Trumpel-Stiltskins, and we will dive into all of these things. But more than perfectly, we are cahooting today with Dana Ullman, longtime ally, one of America's leading advocates for homeopathy, to calmly yet enthusiastically guide us in strengthening our immune system and coming into harmony with the earth, personally and politically. Right, we're going to play with this. And he writes in his splendid, you can go homeopathic.com, really great blog. Although the Chinese have been remarkably effective in preventing the increased incidence of this viral infection, the media have not been reporting on the fact that the vast majority of Chinese have utilized herbs in traditional Chinese medicine to treat COVID-19. The CNN report acknowledges this. The use of natural medicines is clearly working. What serious dangers result from the use of immunosuppressive drugs, fever-reducing drugs, and other powerful drugs with known serious side effects? What is homeopathy's history of success, he writes, in treating infectious disease epidemics? Yes, we want to know that. And what is the real chance of death by COVID-19? So welcome. Welcome, Dana Ullman.
Nice to be with you and your coven here, indeed.
Well, yeah, and then just because we are keepers of traditions that have been dissed but are of great value increasingly now, the astrological language and the homeopathic language are quite kin, and so I will not hold back in noting my delight that the chart of our show is very like your chart. All right, just for the fun of it. It's a Leo rising, so are you.
Yes,
it's a Taurus midheaven, so are you. It's a Uranus transiting your midheaven, so that all you hold dear is about to enter into its greatest form of call and response, cultural recognition and cahooting. So cool. Good for you. Perfect timing.
Well, there's more magic than that, because a year ago you interviewed me on April 11th, and April 10th and 11th is the birthday of the founder of homeopathic medicine. He was born at midnight between those 2 days. And here, several hundred years later, you choose to have me on your program last year, and now this is a day off of as close as possible, though, for your Thursdays, of the founder of homeopathy, Samuel Hahnemann's birthday.
Well, and it is my dog's birthday, and I will say that in my medical adventure in Underworld, which was largely assisted by many great teammates, the likes of yourself, but when acupuncture ally came over, my dog Captain Moon wanted to study with him deeply. I go, your Taoist teacher is here, and he would stare, and then the dog would tentatively or gently put his paw on the needle and then look into the acupuncturist's eyes. Anyway, so all creatures want to know these things, so that's great. You can be mentor and reciprocal mentor to dogs. But yeah, so I was inspired again, you know, everything speaking to us. And so I ran across, you know, in your Facebook feed, the Chris Cuomo's protocol, right? And it's like, whoa, boy, is he a lucky guy.
For people who don't know, Chris Cuomo is a news anchor on CNN.
Yes.
And his wife wrote a blog in detail about how this healer, who uses many different methods, homeopathy, nutrition, botanicals, has put him on this really good, mostly plant-based diet too. But poor Chris, he's screwing it all up because he's taking Tylenol. He's taking a fever-suppressing drug. And one of the really important things you have to know about every viral infection is the fever is your friend. The fever is the way your body is fighting the infection. We know that this virus in particular is very sensitive to heat. And during a fevered state, the body naturally secretes this substance called interferon, which is an antiviral chemical. So That is our ally. You know, fever is our defense, except if it gets up to 103.5 for more than a couple hours. But very, very rarely does that happen, except in babies. And this disease is not hitting babies very often.
But when you say it's sensitive to heat, which was a hope, but it's doing very well in the tropics.
What tropical places are you talking about? Because a lot of the tropical places, it's not. And in fact, it doesn't stay on surfaces for very long in heat.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I was just in. Vietnam and Cambodia in early and mid to mid-March, and they had very low numbers.
Okay. All right.
I was thinking compared Jamaica, to China and Korea.
And Jamaica's all shut down, but I don't know the numbers. But okay, I'm voting for that. Okay, very sensitive to heat. Yeah, because we were speaking backstage about, you know, what you do and how you guide us, and it's a micro to macro larger deal about cooperating. So the fever cooperate, you know, and the fire. And we wanted to go through the elements, and I was going, right, and water, right? Many of us might have seen the little cartoon where the soap and water, you know, and what the efficacy is that they dissolve the, whatever it is, you will know the right term, but the goo that holds the kind of integrity of the shape of the virus, and it dissolves it. And my thought is, you know, because I noticed myself sanitizing and washing with a little fear, and it's like, no, let's replace this with a dedication as political guidance that we're going to dissolve the tyranny virus. Every time we wash our hands, we go, in my body and the body politic, you know, salve e coagula, says Neptune, dissolve and reimagine, dissolve and reimagine. Because it is, you know, I forgot which smart medical person from the second century was quoted as, pandemics always arise when there are tyrants. Seems right.
It's more than true these days, more than true. Way too many countries beyond America, too.
Yeah. No. Again, so I think we can do a, you know, because we say a ritual, you know, is not some hokey thing that somebody tells you to do. It's any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism. So it just gives us a strength. I think it's a Saturn thing. Dedication strengthens our boundaries. So we go, by the washing of these hands, may I be a better person, but also may we dissolve corruption, you know, and away from the tyranny. I think getting everybody to do that could be a real force, and that's kind of with Bernie suspending his campaign. Although the rogue in me goes, I was suspended from high school more than once, you know. But with his suspending his campaign, because anything could happen, we don't know. But it is back to us to, again, inaugurate a renaissance. And what's perfect about having you here, and let me hand it back to you, is the sun in Aries squares all these Capricorn guys in the sixth house of healing, so in our chart today. So it is to bring old traditional healing medicines in harmony with cooperating with the earth into fresh vernacular expression, which is what you do, right?
Indeed. And I'm glad you called it traditional healing methods, because I always have difficulty when people call conventional medicine traditional medicine. It has very little tradition. Most of these drugs are just have been made and formulated in the past decade or so. And according to the World Health Organization, traditional medicine refers to natural medicines, homeopathy and herbal medicines and spiritual healing. Very different than the way conventional medicine, you know, embodies itself.
Right. So just again, I guess the segue from what you were saying about, you know, fire and fever is our ally unless it gets up to 103.5 for several hours. And then what? Then you get in a bath. What do you
actually
do when it's 103.5?
In homeopathy, we use nano doses, these very small doses of substances that in overdose cause fever conditions. But in more traditional societies, they took saunas and steam baths, and they burned it out of them. And that's its own healing wisdom, too. Sometimes they used hot herbs. But the whole, even cayenne pepper, talk about heat. I mean, that's something that will help you sweat. And that's one of the things that Chris Cuomo talks about. At night, he gets a fever and he begins sweating. So he thinks his body is lying to him. That's his actual words that he used on his news show the other night. And that, so then he takes Tylenol to suppress it. And when his pulmonologist says, you know, are you tired and you just want to be exhausted and lie down? He goes, yes. He goes, well, move around. Your body isn't being honest with you. No, I disagree. Your body is being honest. I actually had a patient who in Sun Valley area of Idaho, and she was so exhausted with total brain fog, and she decided to accept it and to just lie there, because sometimes your body just needs to rest while it does this internal work. And she was basically healed of this condition literally within 3 or 4 days after beginning the homeopathic medicine. I mean, from the beginning of the homeopathic medicine, of which she had 3 days of some emerging symptoms, to be completely back in her body, fine and functioning in 3 days. Now, that's remarkable.
Right, and then just to connect us to the word that Trump can say, because he's been practicing for years, but I can't remember the Novartis major manufacturer of fluoroquinine, you say it, but which is an immunosuppressive, right?
No, that one is an immunosuppressive. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other drugs. I mean, sadly, American doctors treat these steroids, these corticosteroids, and prednisone, cortisone in a cavalier way. And what they do is they literally suppress your body's immune system. That anti-malarial drug has a whole other series of serious side effects, especially on the heart. And yes, it might provide some benefit, but I still think that we have to honor the Hippocratic tradition of first do no harm. First work to nurture and nourish the body's own immune and defense system. And in this whole dialogue that we see in big media, not, when I say big media, I don't even mean just the ABC and NBC. I'm talking about even the MSNBCs. As much as I love Rachel Maddow, the question that she continually brings up is, well, will we find antivirals? Will we find vaccines? But no discussion on what can we do to strengthen a person's immune and defense system. There's no discussion about that.
Right. And again, and how shall we strengthen democracy's immune system as well? I mean, it is connected. So yeah, may it be that all of our dynamic listeners, hi there, that it is time to assume cultural narrative lead, right? The likes of yourself and the likes of the technology of autonomy and the magic of radio, and yeah, to inhale. Well, this is what I want to toss to you too, that, you know, these languages of it's all related. So, you know, in astrology, Saturn is our boundaries, what defines us, our skin, our 6 feet, you know, and it's our field. It's also authority and leadership. So boundaries and leadership are all kind of connected. And to inhale back our authority and our autonomy, which is also what you're guiding, right? That people inhale back, you know, their own personal magic of well-being, right? Their own field.
You know, one of the important things we have to understand about infectious disease is to understand it from an ecological perspective. Many of us have streptococcus in our throat right now, and we have pneumonococcus in our bronchioles. We've got cancer cells in various parts of our body. And if we were to really know all the different infectious agents in our body and that are surrounding us right now, we'd freak out. But the answer is we have to recognize that we have an immune and defense system that has survived this hundreds of thousands of years. And we, part of that immune and defense system is to create symptoms. And our symptoms are not breakdown. And that's the difference between conventional medicine and natural medicine. The assumption in conventional medicine is whatever the body's doing is wrong. And so if we have symptoms, how do you counter it? So if you have a fever, you have to lower it. If you have diarrhea, you've got to push it back up. and constipate you. You know, if you're having a cough, you have to suppress your cough, even though your cough is trying to clear your bronchioles. So in understanding infectious disease, there's a pathogen, but there's what we call host resistance, or the immune and defense system. And without both, you know, the infective agent and the host, there's no, the person doesn't, needs to have a susceptible state to actually get infection. In other words, I might have strep in my throat right now, but my immune system will keep it at bay until I'm stressed in so many other ways that my defenses cannot stop the proliferation in my throat. And so what happens? Now, there is something else that gets added to the equation that's different than this metaphor at all. And that is that when there is a new infection, like this new virus, like what happened to the Hawaiians when measles was introduced, something like 80% of the Hawaiians died from the introduction of what I consider a relatively simple virus, the measles. And I know conventional medicine and a big media tries to scare us about measles. But an actual fact, in America over the last 5 years, do you know how many deaths there have been of measles in America? Zero.
I let you answer
Not
that.
Not a single death in America. And yet we're making, and big pharma and big media make it seem as though you have to get the measles vaccine. People are dying. They're dying in third world countries because measles destroys vitamin A stores in our body, the storage that we have. So vitamin A is a source of fresh fruits and vegetables. And so these poor people are dying more of malnutrition than just the infection. And but the bottom line is the fear creates sale of more vaccines. And that is the modus operandi. In fact, I was really, in 2010, I wrote an article for the Huffington Post of how to create your own infectious pandemic at the Huffington Post. And I'm still very proud of that particular article because I even postulated that they'll blame it on bat turds. I actually did write that in 2010. They were gonna blame bat turds on some new infection. So it's called creating your own how big pharma creates pandemics creates creatively. So check that out. That's not the exact title, but if you were to look up my name at the Huffington Post, you'll see my my collection of articles.
So fear sells fill in the blank vaccines.
Yeah, you know,
and is something that induces us to give away our autonomy. And then there's the phrase from the bubonic plague that contagion spreads on the wings of fear. And I said this to somebody when we were still allowed to be in a swimming pool together. And she goes, I don't think the viruses care about, you know, whether you're afraid. And I go, no, but your immune system cares whether you're frightened or not. And she's like, oh, okay. And that goes with the folk wisdom at the time that none of the village idiots became infected because they were not on Twitter. They were outside the fear loop, and we go, okay, there's something to that. But so your splendid blog, you know, again, anywhere you want to go, but you know, what worked to stop COVID-19 in China? You said that most of the people in China, or correct me, or take over here, were using traditional Chinese medicine.
That's right. That's what the article at CNN emphasized. The vast majority, not even the majority, the vast majority used different types of traditional Chinese medicine, which are usually broths of different sort, which is usually botanicals put in warm fluid so that they can be easily assimilated into the body and provide nourishment. And so you're nourishing and nurturing the body's own defenses. And I'm sure they were not suppressing their fever very much. And one of the things that we all know about the deaths that COVID is leading to is it's usually in elderly people. And it's usually not just elderly people with already serious chronic diseases, which means not only do they have a chronic disease, but they're on a whole host of different drugs. And according to modern statistics, every man, woman, and child is prescribed about 13 different prescription drugs. That doesn't even include all the over-the-counter drugs. And no one knows what type of interactions each of these drugs have. But when you then get an infective agent, that stresses the body's defenses, and the mixture of pharmaceuticals just destroy the person's immune system and defenses. So the person's immune system can't define self from not self. So the body then begins attacking itself rather than attacking the microbe. So we have to emulate success, and China's doing something right. And here is where we have to. Now, the other bit of new news that is so new that I haven't even put it in a blog yet, but 2 days ago, according to the a major Miami paper, Cuba is now giving to millions of its elders a homeopathic formula that has different homeopathic medicines in it, including one of the ingredients of the leading homeopathic medicine in France and a well-known homeopathic medicine here in America that's called oscillococcinum. Right. And oscillococcinum is a homeopathic dose, believe it or not, of the heart and liver of a duck. Now, you might say, wow, that sounds like sheer quackery, and I'm sorry for that bad pun. But ultimately, we've all heard of the bird flu, and ducks are a bird, and ducks are known to carry in their digestive tract every known influenza virus. So ducks have, as a part of their living system, have biochemical components of fighting these viruses. So taking a homeopathic dose of the duck liver and heart strengthens a person's immune defense system. And there have actually been 4 double-blind and placebo-controlled studies on using the ingredient used in oscillococcinum that has shown that this does help stop the flu. So I'm a big advocate of oscillococcinum. I don't think it's going to be as important in curing or helping people with this disease. There's other homeopathic medicines that we use. But, you know, I do wonder if it can be used to help prevent some of the conditions that we're dealing with.
So you don't necessarily find it pertinent, like, that the virus emerged from a wildlife, terrible circumstances market, or that it was from eating pangolins or snakes or bats? You don't think that's a relevant story?
No, that easily could have happened. I mean, in this modern age of, you know, animals convorting or just being in proximity with other animals, most of the time we find in zoological studies that animals have their own microbiome, and that they are not as influenced by others' microbiome. But I can tell you this, that if a chicken gets a flu virus, 100% of chickens die from that flu. So chickens are not a good source, or chicken soup is not so good for flu viruses. It may be good for rhinoviruses and other cold viruses, but not flu viruses. Here's where duck soup or pate or homeopathic doses of duck might be much more important. And when I was talking about Cuba doing this, they're not the only country that's using homeopathic medicines to prevent this corona infection. India, which has been long a big bastion for homeopathy, there's over 135-year homeopathic medical schools in India. And one of the branches of the government is called Ayush, which is, the A stands for Ayurveda, the Y for yoga, the U for Unani medicine, which is a traditional medicine of India. The S is called Siddha medicine, and H is for homeopathy. And the government has been very supportive and has given out millions of doses of a homeopathic medicine that you will find in Whole Foods under the name of Arsenicum album. And it is what it sounds like it is. It's a homeopathic dose of arsenic. And that's one of the key remedies that we use in homeopathy. And it's actually the only known medicine that the Queen of England ever acknowledged that she keeps in her purse, because this is a medicine that is used for many different things in homeopathy, including traveler's diarrhea. That's the reason that the Queen says she carries it around, just in case she ever has food poisoning. But homeopathic doses of arsenicum album, you know, is one of the most important medicines, and that is the medicine that the Indian government is giving to its population.
Cool. And we can remember the Queen by thinking of arsenic and old lace. There we go.
That's fantastic. That's right.
Fantastic movie.
Now, overdose of arsenic is a whole other matter. But homeopathic doses of arsenic are actually fundamentally very useful.
Right. And again, this is such an interesting, you know, it's a Saturn limits, boundaries, leadership. It's a micro, not the gorge theory of eat the whole pie over the sink. It's a little tiny, it's a limited amount. Thank you for, you know, your ministry in America, where so much of it is gorge on, you know. And it's true that what you say about people with pre-existing conditions and all, and yet we do see so many humans that fall into that category, and beautiful John Prine, I like to think of him giving the soundtrack to Bernie's suspended campaign, and we go, thank you, John Prine. And he had part of his lung removed and had many challenges, yes. But you do read about also people, you know, triathletes who are like, wow, dude, and the other. But you're saying, everybody take a breath. Huh? The death, even though it looks very huge, you know, CNN and MSNBC is going, you know, into the emergency rooms in Italy and in America, I think in Boston, and code 99, people were dying at a very rapid clip. You're assuaging, guiding through that with full empathy for all of the stories involved is what? Everybody take a breath and say again your calm guiding thing there.
Well, which calm guy are you seeing?
I'm turning to the blog part. that in fact, what are your chances of dying from COVID-19?
Yeah. It's so small. I mean, if you're under 50 years old, I mean, it's highly unlikely. The problem I predict is that even these people that may be between 30 and 50 that are having serious complications, you find out that these are people that are taking regular doses of aspirin, ibuprofen, or acetaminophen. And all these suppress the body's defenses. They suppress the body's fever. In fact, I need to tell you a little bit about the previous pandemic of 1918. The flu pandemic that killed 50 million people in the world. But the problem wasn't just the bug here, because in 1918, the AMA recommended that patients with the flu should take 25 aspirin tablets a day. Because they thought that aspirin reduces the fever. That's a perfect treatment for the flu. And aspirin was a miracle drug in the early 20th century. It was introduced in the late 19th century. And it was the first drug that really got rid of pain. So it became a miracle drug. And the fact that it reduced fever seemed like a good idea to some people. But what was different about the 1918 flu is that it didn't attack just elderly people. It attacked a lot of middle-aged people. But because not only did the AMA insist upon using this, but military doctors insisted upon using large doses of aspirin. And as you may know, aspirin, one of the symptoms it's known to cause is hemorrhaging. And the different feature of the 1918 flu was hemorrhaging from the lungs. Now, although lung hemorrhaging is not very common in most diseases, if you have a serious cough and you're taking large doses of a hemorrhage-creating drug, you're going to create bleeding in the lungs. And to date, the AMA and conventional medicine has not acknowledged that they killed millions of people with this recommendation. Mm-hmm. And until we really separate out these young people who are getting this disease and who are experiencing complications, so this is the way big media is trying to fear, you know, hell and damnation and fear into people of all ages, is we'll find out that it's because they've been encouraged to take these fever-suppressing drugs.
Okay, hold those thoughts. We're going to jump right back in. We're going to take a very short break, as is our usual heartening Taj Mahal for 23 years, because we love it so much. And our wonderful guest is Dana Ullman. This is the Visionary Activist Show with Caroline Casey. And we will be right back after this very short break.
She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellations and dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Indigo skyship, make his voice long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com. Also on Patreon, Visionary Activist Show. There you go. And our wonderful, perfect skookum for now. Skookum means connected to the spirits and completely competent for the work at hand. Guest Dana Ullman, one of America's leading advocates for homeopathy. And we were right at, okay, aspirin. So would you say, since aspirin, would you say that in this climate it would be useful for people to back off their aspirin, even if they've been frightened into taking it every day to prevent a heart attack?
Oh, yeah. In fact, believe it or not, the evidence about aspirin helping people with preventing a heart attack has been thrown into question. And then the other problem there is that when there's much more safer methods to thin your blood, and you know, herbal medicine, you know, is full of such good alternatives. So I don't recommend taking aspirin daily at all, and especially during any time that you have an infection. So those of you that are convinced and you don't know about what botanicals or what homeopathic medicines to do, just stop the aspirin use or any fever-lowering drug. The big three are, like I mentioned, aspirin, ibuprofen, and acetaminophen. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's strong evidence that's really well accepted in many regions of the world around not using ibuprofen and aspirin. But many doctors, for this COVID virus, but many of the doctors say, well, Tylenol or acetaminophen is okay. Here's where I respectfully disagree.
Yes. I thought there was more coming, but no, that is sufficient. So the fire, okay? Fever is our friend. The water, and remember, as we wash our hands, may it be a dedicated, you know, dissolving the coronavirus as it does, and dissolving the political coronavirus of tyranny in our own country and in the world. There we go. I just think this is useful. I think it will strengthen our immune systems and possibly the immune system of democracy, with just by adding Saturn dedication to whatever we're doing, that it come from freedom and dedicated cavorting magic rather than fear. Okay, there we go. So we have the fire and water part, and then do you want to bring in the wind? You're a great air guy. It's your strongest element.
All these ventilators, they're so important.
Yes.
And so dangerous. Right. They're important because they help people breathe. But what they do is they also cool down the person's respiratory tract and thus enable the virus to replicate. So, you know, there's a history of people expressing concern about these ventilators, because once you get a person on one, you can't get them off it, and ultimately so many of them die. So unless they begin to develop ventilators that enable the creation of warm air into the person, we're going to have a problem.
And again, the dodgy thing, people say that half of the people go on ventilators die, and then we've seen some people emerge from 6 days, but people, the doctors say it takes about a year to recover from that. And because, again, I want to throw this theme back to you, because it is suppressing the person's breathing rhythm, and when in extreme and poignant heroic circumstances they're called upon to share a ventilator, they say it's a terrifying thing. When you need incredible skill for all of these things, because the setting up of the system has everything to do with outcome. But with two people sharing a ventilator, they breathe at different rates, and so they have to put everybody basically into a coma. I'm like, oh no. And I turned to my wonderful sumo enthusiast allies, who we got to see that before a sumo wrestling match, the referee will not start the match until the two opponents are breathing together. Anyway, I find that kind of wonderful. But no, those are good points, that it cools down. And so the ventilator, well, we've all been, or many of us, have been snookered into like ventilators, more, as opposed to, again, what is you're full of vision, and we are with you. What are some detailed visions of, even not necessarily realistic, of what would be a healing circumstance, for people who are frightened, who are, in this dance with the virus? And what would that look like? There would be aromatics, there would be homeopathy, there would be not chicken soup, as you say, which is interesting, but maybe duck soup, and the Marx Brothers movie as well. So what would that be? What would be wafting through the air? What would be the atmosphere?
Conducive? In Chinese medicine, the emotion fear is related to kidneys. So here is where I think we need to probably increase our liquid consumption. Yeah. And here is where water comes in. But the trick in all this is that, and the reason I think that tea of various sorts is so effective is that our body is this primarily water medium. But there's really little water in our body. Our blood is a mineral-rich liquid system. And just plain water is not enough. So one of the things that teas and soups provide is low amounts of these minerals and trace minerals and enzymes and various other healing factors that are in this low dose that nourish and nurture various systems of our body. And we have to get away from what I call medical machismo, where we think we have to use strong doses of powerful, concentrated, military-grade drugs to overwhelm the body. I call this a sort of a medical machismo, and there's even a medical chauvinism, which is the assumption that only the big medical armamentation is appropriate for these at this time. I actually got a newsletter that noted that the governor of Nevada closed the health food stores in Nevada because he didn't consider the health food stores essential services. That is the degree of craziness that we're at. And that is the total ignoring of the importance of the natural methods that strengthen our body's immune defense systems. And so we fight fear by strengthening our kidneys and by literally watering down fear, diluting it, acknowledging it, and then realizing for what it is that fear is often the result of lack of information. And here's where we have to explore what have the people that have been successful, what have they been doing? And so far, at least, China has been using traditional Chinese medicine. Let's explore other traditional systems of healing.
Right. And I suppose we can think of fear as obedience. It's a kind of obedience to the reality police. But, yeah, no, and late great ally Dr. Wu. Sorry.
I just like that word, reality police. Totally.
Well, definitely, it's quite useful. Well, it's the idea that where is the word playful enough to suck chi from the tyranny it describes, right? It's like Samphi man, you know, con man, Jamaican. But late great ally Dr. Wu said, you know, the Chinese have been dealing with problems of modernity for far longer, you know, and they say two things: soup to alleviate overcrowding, have spaciousness within, right? And he said, time, we're not designed to be more than 15 minutes here or there. And I go, well, that's very adorable. But the soup and the roots and the ginger, you know, in the astrology realm, Jupiter, Pluto, it's like Pluto underworld. When were we tricked into thinking the underworld was a bad place? Probably with the advent of priesthoods. Underworld was roots and the place where our souls, you know, speak more deeply to us, you know, dis. And a little just shout out to the side. The reason I am always eager to throw the word or the overuse of the word disappointed into the cauldron, the bubbling cauldron that we all have before us, is it means literally I am powerless in the underworld. So it's like no sense bespelling ourselves further than we already are, for goodness sake, you know, and replacing it with things and say, you know, rather than I'm so disappointed, how about I'm aroused? You know, I'm aroused to be an agent of democracy. Arr, arr, arr. You know, these kind of Mars fire qualities, why not? But so that's great. Roots, ginger, turmeric teas, yes, green tea. Wonderful idea. Timing. And then if the kidneys are strengthening the kidneys alleviates fear, good. So the lungs in Chinese medicine are grief, right?
Yes. I mean, literally people have had their air knocked out of them. Grief, indeed.
So there is a lot to grieve, you know, and again, you know, and what would be the homeopathic guide of not suppressing grief, right, but allowing it? It's like our poet friend, Egyptian aphorism poet Yahya Labibidi says, you can't expect to bury pain and not have it grow roots, right? So right. So the expressing, I think that, you know, grief is absolutely a form of love, and poignancy is kinship, going, oh, the stories, all of these stories. And then our appropriate collective grief for what we've done to the lungs of the earth, you know. And I mean, do you feel a resonance that in this kind of pragmatic mysticism wheel and deal that enough humans need to come together to go, we vow to heal the lungs of the earth? Can we work out a deal here? Does that...
I hope so. I do think that there's a couple silver linings in this pandemic. And yeah. I think that the field of natural medicines is eventually going to be coming forward. I think also what's happened is that the big media has been saying this pandemic is so much worse than the normal flu. Well, that's good to hear, because they've been putting fear every year into us about the flu. And, you know, that's, people don't know it, but when they talk about flu deaths, they group all pneumonia deaths along with flu deaths. And so every pneumonia death, and most of the deaths are from pneumonia, they're not even related to the flu. It's a separate disease. And, but they group it together so that it gets people to buy more of the vaccines. And according to a doctor, Thomas Jefferson, Tom Jefferson is his formal name. He's the leading expert MD epidemiologist with the Club of Rome on the flu vaccine. And his research shows that this is more of an economic enterprise than a scientific one for adults. Your average adult gets no benefit from the flu vaccine, according to Tom Jefferson. He says there's some slight benefit for children and some slight benefit for elders, but it is a very slight benefit. And because flu vaccines today, most of them still have mercury in it, if you're getting your flu vaccine every year, you're on your way to a much more serious problem.
Right. And if we think of the horror of the detained immigrants and children in cages and all, there are no vaccines for them, even if that were a good idea. But what would be if Dana is if you are in the ideal administration department of whatever you make up your own job title, you know, Health and Human Services for starters. But first, we'd let everybody go, for God's sake, you know. But what would you do in crowded circumstance for humans?
In crowded circumstance?
Yeah, like prisons and other horrors.
Oh, well, you know, I will tell you this. I love history, and there's one other history story I need to tell you, but right now, right dealing with this, there's a book on my shelf called The Logic of Figures, and it was published in 1900, and it compared the disease and death rate of hundreds of hospitals throughout the world from different infectious diseases. But not just death rates in hospitals, but death rates in penitentiaries and death rates in insane asylums is what they were called, which were mental health hospitals. And the death rates in the conventional hospitals and penitentiaries and insane asylums were literally 2 to 8 times more than in the homeopathic hospitals. And there were actually homeopathic penitentiaries. I call them homeopathic because the medical supervisor was a homeopathic doctor. At the turn of the century, from 19th to 20th century, there were 22 homeopathic medical schools. Boston University was a homeopathic medical school. University of Michigan had a homeopathic medical school. University of Minnesota, even the University of Iowa. New York Medical College was called New York Homeopathic Medical College. So actually, the best thing for infectious diseases is an integrative approach where sometimes we might use antibiotics if they're appropriate. They're not appropriate here. And if not, here's where homeopathy has actually shown its strongest card. In fact, believe it or not, 3 different popes in the 19th and 20th century gave the highest honor that a pope can give to a non-clergyman to homeopathic doctors due to the work that they did in healing so many people from cholera or typhoid epidemics. And even in last week's New York Times, there was a big article about how the New York Health Commissioner in the 1918 flu epidemic, how New York did better than any city in the world. And why? Well, the head of health for the New York City was a homeopathic doctor. And there were not only many homeopathic medical schools in New York City, but these medical schools and their hospitals did not prescribe any aspirin. So, you know, and his name was Royal Copeland. And as it turns out, after he became the health commissioner, he ran for senator, and FDR was his campaign manager. He won the senatorship 3 times. And in 1 month before he died, he wrote and got passed legislation that created and empowered the FDA. Now, and that's why for many decades, homeopaths have had a good working relationship with the FDA. Until only just recently. And as a part of what his legislation did is it gave recognition to homeopathic drugs as legally prescribed drugs in America today. And that all came from a senator from New York who previously was the health commissioner of New York City who really saved New York's ass during that 1918 flu pandemic.
And it's fabulous.
And there's a great story about this in the New York Times last week. However, although they mentioned he's a homeopathic doctor, they don't mention anything about aspirin, of course, and they don't mention anything about a single homeopathic hospital.
Right. No, these are.
Here's where the news that we're being fed is partially correct.
Right. Well, we are always wary and creatively suspicious, and we draw from many sources and throw everything into the cauldron, going and we cultivate our bogus detector increasingly. But then that's a great story. So you said the FDA until recently was in happy accord with homeopathy. What is recently?
Well, believe it or not, literally in the past 3 or 4 years, but actually before Trump came in, they began to reevaluate homeopathy. And so much so that the FDA, there's a lot of confusion as to how they're going to re-regulate homeopathy. And there's an effort right now that I've written about this at the Mercola website. M-E-R-C-O-L-A, named after a doctor named Joe Mercola, is a very good health website. But believe it or not, it's completely censored by Google. If you try to look up anything on Google that has been published on Mercola, it won't be found. And so you actually have to go to Mercola.com directly and then do a search. I'm real proud of the articles that I've written at Mercola. So if you go to Mercola.com and then search for my name, you'll find it. And back to that story about I have 40 articles at the Huffington Post. You can't go to the Huffington Post and look for me because they only do indexing of the last year at Huffington Post. You'll find me actually at Google or other website or other search engines. If you mention my name or write down my name, Dana Ullman, and then Huffington Post, you'll find my collection of 40 articles, of which I'm very, very proud of today.
Yay. Well, what a good thing. And you should be glad. Everything's cooking away in your chart. You're born on King Arthur's birthday. Bless your heart. Birth of the World Redeemer. You have the Sun quintile, Moon Neptune. You're an excellent Trojan horse to smuggle wisdom into mainstream. Here we go. And on behalf of the Earth, it's all humming. It's all humming alive. That's really good. And since we're all in this dream together, you're a spicy, sizzly Venus in Scorpio, which is the moon is right on that right now, is saying yes, calling in, and that, you know, in the large collective atmosphere, you know, your deepest, most smoldery, most practical and useful insights are increasingly welcome. Maybe so. There we go. All right, so we've got the fire, the fever is our friend. We got the water, the washing, the Trump's away from our hands. We've got the air. That was a great riff on ventilators and air and breathing and. And then Earth, of course, which is, you know, and I just wanted to point out last week's fantastic guest, Karen Saunders, a wonderful colleague at KPFA Herbal Highway, currently on Tuesdays. Used to be before my show, maybe again. But she is a great herbalist. And Native American tradition and more. And she has only one planet in Earth in her chart, which is her sun. And you, Dana Ullman, also great keeper of lore and pride, you know, have only one planet in Earth, which is your sun. And it just reminds us that whatever we don't have is numinous. You know, it's the metaphysics of the mundane going, bodies, amazing, you know, which you and Karen both have, going, right. And the quintile is something in our chart right now. And let me, you know, kind of toss this to you in our deconvening moments. But, you know, the quintile, according to my wonderful ally in Vallejo, hi there, Sylvia Hanley, who says, the quintile, it is irresistible eloquence, and it is capacity to hum a true perception so that it hums in others, but it's also the capacity to open portals between worlds. And I go, well, that's great. So we're convening on the eve of Hanuman's birthday, right? And yes. He is a mentor to you, right?
Absolutely.
Right, so it's a calling in all mentors. That's part of ourselves going, all right, all mentors, not just humans, right, again, all guiding wise traditions kind of coming on in right now. And it is this big, spooky, enormous, unfurling, opportune time. But also, so with your calm lucidity and encouraging guidelines, you know, what is your protocol now with what quality? You know, so are you in sheltering in place? Are you inward? Are you wearing a face
first
mask?
First of all, my business is homeopathic.com, and I'm an essential business. So right. We've been getting more orders than ever at homeopathic.com for homeopathic medicines, homeopathic kits, homeopathic books. And you know what? I'm a big advocate for this one medicine in homeopathy called thymulin. And thymulin is made from the thymus gland hormone called thymulin. And thymulin is responsible biochemically for creating T cells in the body. And if you know something about T cells, they're the most important part of our immune system that fights viruses. So I'm not making any claim, and I can't make any claim about what homeopathic doses of this substance would be, but it just makes sense to at least consider using it. That is one thing that is a part of my personal protocol. Sadly, however, I've had so many orders for it that I'm temporarily out of it, but I'll be getting more eventually soon. And so people are being patient and being on the waiting list. But the other thing that I recommend to people out there is that if you do get sick, go seek a homeopath. And the two sources of information of how to find a homeopath in your area is if you go to homeopathy.org, which is the website of the North American Society of Homeopaths. That's a great website of professional homeopaths, and you'll find some in your state. And even if you don't find one in your neighborhood, don't worry, because many homeopaths see patients, especially during this time and age, over Skype or Zoom or the telephone. And the other leading homeopathy organization is the National Center for Homeopathy, and their website's homeopathycenter.org. So homeopathy.org and homeopathycenter.org, and then homeopathic.com is my site. So
splendid. Because we're on our way out. And I guess I'm in essential business too, coyotenetworknews.com. But also just on our way out, briefly, it's a huge thing, but our ally says, is there a homeopathic for calming or for calming of excessive thinking? You have about 10 seconds.
I'd say a good meditation, a good, slow breathing exercise, and breathing in the word calm. Breathing in the word calm, breathing out the word love. Breathing in the word calm, breathing out the word love.
That's right. We want to have deep, delving, investigative spice with a kind heart. That is our aspirational medicine. Thank you so much, Dana Ullman. Again, homeopathic.com. Thank you so much, Mo Skookum Bordop Rod. We did it. We had a great cahooting show. I'm Caroline Casey. Again, you can follow me on Patreon, Visionary Activist Show, and at coyotenetworknews.com. And we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team. Woof.